This is the second of 7 activities that take place in True Prayer, a little mini-series on the 7 activities of prayer. As I mentioned last time, these activities are not my own. They are borrowed from J.A. Packer in his little book called Praying the Lord's Prayer, a very short little book that I highly recommend. In the first activity, we looked at how we are to approach God in adoration and trust. It is not a light thing to come before the true and living God, and it is essential that we remember who it is we are talking to. Such approaching should be done with a heart that adores who He is and trusts in Him with our whole heart. Activity 2, which we're looking at right now, is this: acknowledging His work and worth in praise and worship. Acknowledging His work and worth in praise and worship. In the last session, we talked briefly about the difference between adoration and praise, of which it will be helpful to bring back to our attention right now. I mentioned how they are very much alike, with one simple difference. Praise is expressing who you adore. In approaching God in adoration, we are filling our minds with the truths of God, and in silence, being in awe. Once our hearts are in the right place, knowing whom we are approaching, then we move forward by acknowledging those truths to God in praise, by expressing them. This is emphasized really well in Hebrews 13, verse 15, which says, "Through Him then, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name." This is one of 3 exhortations of how we are to live in light of the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Yet notice something very important. This sacrifice of praise is the fruit of lips. That is, it comes out of your mouth. Does this mean that someone who is mute cannot praise God? No. It does mean that one desires to express the name of God in whatever means possible, which for all who are able will be from our lips. There is something very important that is happening when we praise God for who He is. It rightly brings into focus our relationship with God. I mentioned previously those words from the Lord where He says, "I am God and not a man." God, my dear brother and sister, is not like us. So what is the focus that praise will bring? It will highlight 2 things: the otherness and the greatness of God, and it will highlight His closeness. Let me explain. The essence of praise is to declare, "You are God, and I am not." That is the confession of the Christian's heart. And Psalm 95 highlights this really well. Listen to these words. It starts with, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For," and here He's going to praise. Notice what He's going to do. "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." What powerful words! God is great, a great King above all. He is the Creator who holds all things in His hands. Oh, that is praise. And what is the response in verses 6 and 7? It says this: O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Do you see? The response is bowing and kneeling, postures universally understood for greatness, bowing before greatness. You don't just bow before anyone or kneel before anyone. It must be great. And yet, what is happening as one acknowledges the greatness of God, how other He is? We are coming near to Him. This is completely backwards from how the world says to come to God. We are told of a God who just loves you. But the Bible always starts with the otherness of God, the greatness of God, and moves to His closeness. Find me a passage otherwise, and you will have an example of pride like that of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I love Isaiah 40 verses 10 to 11 when it comes to this important distinction. Listen to these words. It says, "Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His recompense before Him." What a description, right? Of God's power and His kingness. And then, without skipping a beat, it says in verse 11, "He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Wow! The God who comes with might also tends, gathers, carries, and gently leads His sheep. It is the mighty tenderness of God. When we come to God, let it be praising, which leads us into His presence. Let me turn to one other example that further explains what we've been talking about. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to turn to Isaiah 57. Even just pause it now as you look it up. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Listen to these words. These came to my mind a couple years ago, and they've always come back to me again and again and again. It starts off with this in verse 15. "For thus says the One who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." Before He even speaks, notice He's about to say something, but before He even speaks, we get this incredible picture of who this God is. Maybe this verse will be what you put as a bookmark to remember the greatness of God. But then He goes on to speak. This is what He says. "I dwell in the high and holy place." Well, of course He does. That's what He just finished saying. But get these next words. "Oh, dear brother and sister, don't let this pass you by. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with Him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Where does God dwell? You catch those words? High, a holy place, beyond our reach, is what we should be thinking. And then the words, "and with the lowly," should strike us. This is great news. God is so much greater than us. We cannot dwell up there with Him. But that is all right, because He also dwells at the bottom, where those who know they need Him are. If you are trying to climb the ladder to get to God, if your own effort and your good works, you're going the wrong way. God dwells at the bottom when you realize you don't have anything. And he goes on in verse 16 with these words. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would grow faint within me, and the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face and was angry, but he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Did you catch that? Doesn't that sound like what the author of Hebrews picks up on? When we see God's greatness and our need for him, and we meet him at the bottom rung of the ladder, knowing we can't get to the top, and we're broken where we realize our need, he brings healing and restores comfort. And what does it create? The fruit of lips. It creates praise to God. Only when we see him high and lifted up will we truly praise him. In closing, I want to remind us of something mentioned also in the previous session. You might remember that it is important to distinguish between praise and thanksgiving, right? Remember, praise highlights God's gifts, where praise looks at the character of God. I drew this distinction because we tend to thanksgiving instead of praise. But at the end of the day, these both come together, since God lets us see what he is precisely by what he does. I think thanksgiving fits under this activity, and now that we understand this difference, let our praise to God be filled with praising him for who he is and thanking him for what he does in acknowledging God in this activity. So we have seen praise is a sacrifice, the fruit of lips, acknowledging who God is, thanking God for what he's done. We have seen how praising focuses our relationship rightly. It brings it into focus that he is great and other than us, and yet how close he is. If you start with nearness, you will almost never be inclined to see his greatness. Has this not encouraged you to begin your prayers with praise? If even you only did this one activity in any time of prayer, it would be profitable, and it would be praying to God. So I want to continue with the same homework that I asked you to do last time. Would you not continue to look for verses that will fill your mind with the knowledge of God and putting them before you and now acknowledging them to him, putting them on your lips and speaking them to him and to others? Would you not also think through your day and give thanks to God as an act of praise? As we look ahead, something that happens to me as I work through these lessons is sometimes they end up longer than I could have imagined and want them to be. And so I have actually created part two of this activity, which I wonder will be of interest to you. The question part two asks is this: what if I don't feel like praising? Have you ever felt that way? Man, I don't feel excitement in my heart. I don't feel like praising God. Well, if you've ever felt that way, I would encourage you to join me in activity two, B, or part two. And then after that, we will get into our third activity of prayer, which will look at admitting sin and seeking pardon. I hope that you're encouraged today, dear brother, dear sister, and know that I am praying for you. God bless you.